You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
And this is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with Sharon Neer, author of The Opposite of Comfortable, The Unlikely Choices of an Immigrant Career Woman, which is the first book written by a professional immigrant to expose the deficiencies and effects of legal immigration into the United States. Sharon, certainly a pleasure to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric. Pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
So if you would, Sharon, briefly describe for us what your memoir is all about and how it can benefit entrepreneurs to kick things off today.
Well, The Opposite of Comfortable is the essence of entrepreneurship. And the dictionary definition of an entrepreneur is a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, usually with considerable initiative and risk. And that is exactly what I did. The book follows my high-skilled immigration process to the United States, which I handled as it was launching a new startup. When my husband was offered a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, a surgical fellowship in the United States, I was a breakthrough innovation project manager. And I felt I left my career. I felt the need to join him and stay together as a family. But I channeled my ambition and my knowledge and experience to a new venture, which was immigration. And I followed the steps that every entrepreneur should follow prior to launching a new business. I performed the preliminary research, which included SWOT analysis, and because I needed to evaluate the strengths and the weaknesses, the opportunities and threats that my family faced. And I took into account the costs and benefits. I developed a complete business plan and hired an attorney and followed one by one of the United States Immigration Services, no matter how irrational and pointless they were. And eventually, my business venture's profit was a permanent residency. And my story can teach entrepreneurs something that isn't written in business books. It will show them the spirit that is needed to start a new business, the stamina that is needed to handle what seemed to be impossible situation, and the way to approach bureaucracy and move forward at times that everything else is at a standstill. And it will give them an idea about how to develop risk tolerance and consider uncomfortable and conflict as growth opportunities.
Certainly an inspiring story that you have from what we've just heard. Now, as an independent professional woman who had a thriving career in your home country of Israel, you struggled with feelings of guilt and worthlessness after giving up your career and not being allowed to work for the first 5 years you lived in the U.S. I'm sure that wasn't easy. How did you cope with that?
It wasn't easy in many ways. I think that my career was my identity at the time, and it was a substantial source of pride. So when I left it behind, I felt completely lost. And there are many ways of coping with loss, but I think that a successful recovery includes creating a new meaning that will feed the desire to feel needed again. To be recognized for your achievements and provide satisfaction and self-fulfillment. And that is what I did. I created a new meaning. I knew that due to the new to the United States immigration regulation, I will not be able to work for 5 years. It was given, and I knew that going into it. but I was allowed to study. So during the first, I think it was year and a half, I was busy orchestrating this immigration process, and my husband's surgical oncology fellowship was highly demanding, and I took care of the administrative aspect. My husband likes to say that in some aspects of our life together, he's the wow and I'm the how, and he's correct. And while he excelled at work, I handled the endless paperwork and the relocation from New York to New Mexico, and I took care of the kids' adaptation and adjustment to the new environment. And finally, when things started to take off, I enrolled to Northeastern Rigorous MBA program, and I finished with honors 3 years later. And then I had almost a year, it was, until the process was completed. And one day I just opened my computer to write a note for my son's teacher, and 5 hours later I'd scripted the first 10 pages of my book. So when I finally received my permanent residency and was allowed to resume employment, I was still in the process of writing. And as a good project manager, I followed it until it was successfully completed. I think that the bottom line is that I coped by finding alternatives which were aligned with my reality. I never gave up. I think that instead I traded. I traded my family, my career for my family, and my idle time for education. And I applied my knowledge and experience to a new venture in a completely new field, which is, it is very much doable in everything, in any subject in life. Not just my case was immigration, but it can be applied to any other circumstances. Channel everything you have to something completely new.
Also, in your book, you talk about how being uncomfortable actually helped you find your way to happiness and personal fulfillment. Can you elaborate further on that?
Sure. You know, I think that in Western culture, and especially in the United States, people expect life to be stress-free and comfortable and painless, or else fulfillment and happiness cannot be accomplished. And I think that this notion is also the main cause of sadness and restlessness and a desperate search for hasty or off-the-shelf solutions. When you think about it, life wasn't designed to be easy, because we need motivation to remain actively involved. We need to face challenges, and we need things not to work because it drives us to fix them. And when you think about the essence of problem-solving skills, this is something that is embedded in our DNA. It's a survival mechanism. So if everything was comfortable, if there wasn't a conflict, a friction, we wouldn't have needed to use a skill that is part of our nature and the rationale of our continuous existence. So I was comfortable most of my life, uncomfortable most of my life. And that drove me to find solution. And I think that the more uncomfortable I was, the more innovative and creative I became. I think that at a certain point, I stopped viewing challenges as barriers. They were just part of the journey. They were problems that needed solutions. And the focus was on finding the solution, not on complaining about the fact that there's a problem. And of course, it is nice from time to time to just sit back and enjoy the ride, not having to deal with conflict. But that phase should be limited. If you feel comfortable, painless, and stress-free for a long period of time, check your pulse. You might be dead. So in different forums, I ask people, if you could be free of the idea that struggle is negative, how different would your life be? So think about it and try accepting struggle as a necessary evil that brings you amazing things such as growth and happiness and companionship and some of the best things that life has to offer.
And I certainly agree with everything you've said 100%, and we're certainly on the same page today. We are joined by Sharon Neer, author of The Opposite of Comfortable, The Unlikely Choices of an Immigrant Career Woman, which is the first book written by a professional immigrant to expose the deficiencies and effects of legal immigration to the United States, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter at ePodcast Network. And we're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Now, Sharon, as a female professional in the high-tech industry, what do you think is the most effective way to promote more women in executive positions?
First and foremost, we need to be careful that empowering women doesn't become overpowering women. I think that many women know exactly what is needed to climb the ladder and move into the C-suite, but they choose not to climb it at all, or move on their own time, or in their own, or do it in their own terms. And every woman has her own priorities, a given reality, and inherent characteristics. I think that women should choose that, I mean, people who, sorry, women who choose to climb the ladder at a different stage in their life, they should be supported by women who are already there. And they should not be judged for their timing or their female characteristics or for their choices. I think that women's individual choices must be respected. Yet I think that a radical change should be administered by male executives, because if they are running successful corporations, they must remember that innovation is the greatest growth catalyst and can be achieved by the diversity. And incorporating women in leadership positions, it's the easiest way to diversify operation. And I think that this is the reason why qualified women who are interested in executive positions should be continuously groomed for those positions. Their needs must be accommodated and their priorities must be respected. And I don't consider that a special treatment, but as an opportunity to achieve growth and success.
I also understand that you're working on a second book, also directed toward professionals. Can you tell us more about this and when we can expect that to be released?
Yes, I have started working on a second book because I realized that in the 21st century, the lines between business and professional are blurred. And we allow work to get into our professional space and vice versa. And if that is the case, we need to take an holistic approach to everyday life. And my next book will demonstrate how we can apply business concepts into our personal life and personal life models into professional settings. For example, people have a unique way to handle conflict. They handle conflict with their children or with their partners, and those ways can be adjusted for conflict resolution at the workplace. And of course, there are many business books that provide conflict solving techniques, but they are customary, not customized, and therefore people struggle applying them. When one follows his or her personal problem solving techniques that was developed according to personality, reality, experience, and he or she modifies it to the business environment, the likelihood of success is greater, at least I think. And same goes to the workplace. Many business concepts can be applied to everyday life. For example, remodeling a house. It could be done the same way as a project at work. including the business plan and the budget planning and financing, hiring professionals, and execution of the plan. So I think that if we can include and borrow concepts from one aspect to the other, it will help us become more successful in those two so important aspects in our life.
Before we let you go, and in conclusion, any closing thoughts, takeaways, or a final tip along the lines of our discussion today?
I think that, you know, when you read The Opposite of Comfortable, it's a memoir. It gives you some idea about, I mean, a lot of idea about what it takes to be a legal immigrant, a professional legal immigrant to the United States. I do hope that the book will promote the much needed immigration reform. I also hope that the takeaway message for women from the book is that everyone should follow their own dreams and do it according to their reality. And this is the only way to succeed. You can't just follow other people's dream or follow other women's footsteps just because society tells you that this is the thing to do and this is what is needed right now. Follow your dreams. Most of the time you'll be successful.
Well, Sharon, your story is certainly inspiring, and it is not only has inspired me, and I'm sure it has inspired our listeners as well. It has been our honor to have had you with us today here on EPN and on the show here today. Tell our listeners where they can get more information about you, how they can be in touch, and how they can purchase the book, The Opposite of Comfortable.
Well, they can visit my website, www.sharonnear.com, and read latest news, know about events, and read about the book in general. I post daily blog on Facebook, and I interact with my audience all the time, answering questions and giving advice when I can. And it's a beautiful platform, very funny and fun and informative. So my Facebook is Sharon V. Near, and they can find me there. And I'm also on Twitter at Sharon V. Near. And I'll be happy to get response and answer anything or just talk to people there.
Once again, Sharon, it has been our pleasure to have had you. Continued success, and certainly look forward to a future conversation right here on Enterprise Radio. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Harry.
We have been speaking with Sharon Near, author of The Opposite of Comfortable, The Unlikely Choices of an Immigrant Career Woman, which is the first book written by a professional immigrant to expose the deficiencies and effects of legal immigration to the United States. And for more information and for contact, simply visit SharonNear.com. And this has been Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your exclusive mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.